Chapter 10. Susan drove her car to the King's Arms car park, where she left it by a chauffeur-driven Daimler which was preparing to go out. Inside it was an elderly foreign gentleman with a large moustache. After supper, Susan questioned Miss Gilchrist about her uncle's visit to Cora. "Did they get on well together?"
"Oh, yes. She did say that he had got very old. I think she said senile."
"But you didn't think he was senile?"
"Well, not to look at. But I didn't talk to him much. I left them alone together."
Was Miss Gilchrist the kind of woman who listened at doors? She was honest, Susan felt sure, but...
"You didn't hear any of their conversation?" Susan asked. "Sometimes in these small cottages you can't avoid overhearing, and now that they are dead, it's really important to the family to know what was said at that meeting."
Miss Gilchrist nodded.
"I think they were talking about Mr. Abernethy's health and certain, well, ideas he had. He blamed his ill health on other people, a common thing, I believe, in the old. My aunt..."
"Yes," Susan interrupted. "My uncle's servants were upset by his thinking. It was the servants he suspected, I suppose? Of poisoning him, I mean?"
"I don't know. I really don't know."
But she looked away from Susan, so perhaps Miss Gilchrist knew more than she was willing to admit. Susan decided not to say any more on the subject until later, and asked instead, "What are your own plans for the future?"
"Well, I told Mr. Entwistle I would be happy to stay on until everything here was cleared up, and I wanted to ask you how long that was likely to be, because, of course, I must start looking about for another job as a companion."
Susan thought for a moment. "There's really not very much to be done here, but I wanted to tell you that I hope you'll accept 3 months' salary."
"That's very generous of you, Mrs. Banks. I do appreciate it. And you would say that I had been with a relation of yours and that I had proved satisfactory?"
"Oh, of course."
"I don't know whether I ought to ask it."
Miss Gilchrist's hands began to shake, and she tried to steady her voice.
"But would it be possible not to mention what happened here, or even the name?"
Susan stared.
"I don't understand."
"Because it's murder. A murder that's been in the papers and that everybody has read about. People might think two women living together and one of them is killed. Perhaps the companion did it. It's been worrying me terribly, Mrs. Banks, thinking that perhaps I'll never get another job. Not of this kind. And what else is there that I can do?"
Susan suddenly realized the desperation of this woman, who was dependent on other people's good opinion to get a job. It was true that Miss Gilchrist did not benefit from Cora Lansquenet's death, but who would know that? Susan spoke with her usual confidence.
"Don't worry,"
she said, as Miss Gilchrist got up to take their coffee cups into the kitchen.
"I'm sure I can find you a job amongst my friends. There won't be any difficulty."
And, just moments later, an idea came to her.
"Of course," Susan said to herself. "That would be perfect."
And she went to the telephone.
Soon afterwards, Susan went into the kitchen.
"I've just been talking to my Uncle Timothy. Would you like to go to Yorkshire and look after my aunt? She fell and broke her ankle, as you know. You could cook and look after Aunt Maud."
Miss Gilchrist almost dropped the coffee pot in her excitement.
"Oh, thank you. Thank you. That really is kind. I am really good at looking after sick people, and I'm sure I can manage your uncle and cook him nice little meals. It's really very kind of you, Mrs. Banks, and I do appreciate it."